God, we just come before you right now. You are an awesome, mighty God. Father, your presence, your embrace. Father, I just ask that, Lord, that right now in this place that we would feel that. That we would feel that awe. That incredible power. Your presence, your love, your grace, your mercy. Father, that we would be drawn towards you because of what it is that you offer, and at the same time, we would be in awe and reverence of you because of who you are. That, Father God, that we would realize that in your presence, we cannot remain the same, but that you would transform us. Transform us to be the salt and the light that you called us to be. That you would transform us to live a life that is godly and holy, that pleases you and brings others to you. That, Father, that you would transform our families, that they would be healed, that you'd transform our marriages, that they would be solid, that you would transform our kids, that they would stand up and not be ashamed of the gospel. That, Father, in your presence, that you would just reveal into us the things that you desire and that you have called us to be. Father, we lay it all before you. We ask that your Spirit would speak to us as we go through the Scriptures. That, Father, that you would reveal things to our hearts and speak to us individually where we're at. That we would know your presence all the more. So we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. We have been going through chapter 12. We've talked about the spiritual gifts and how God has given us these gifts. And I warned us not to get ourselves pigeonholed into one idea and wonder, how do I make this thing work? But to realize that God has gifted us in many different ways and in different styles, so that it's the manifestation of His Spirit in us that brings glory to God. And then Chris spoke last week, and he did such a great job going through the fact that we are a body. This is a collective thing. That we are doing something that God has driven us all together to do and to accomplish. And in the midst of that, He has this great diversity. And that's what I love about God, is in God there is this incredible beauty and diversity. And the diversity that He's created in us is that we have different personalities, we have different gifts, we have different backgrounds, we have different things that come together that form us and make us who we are. And somehow, incredibly, as those things come together, they create God's ultimate will and purpose to be able to show His glory and what He's doing through the church. Now, as we've opened this thing up, and we've talked about this whole idea of what God is doing, the realization when we look at this verse, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. You realize that God's got a plan. Because if God has done this and He has manifested His Spirit in us, this idea that He has given us gifts to be able to affect and change the world around us, It's not like you just took one of those candy sprinklers, you know, and just kind of dumped it on there. It's like, oh, there's got some over here, and most of it ends up on the table. You know what I mean? The reality is he's gifted us, and He's put the body together and formed us in a unique way. And if He has done that, He has a plan. There's actually organization to it. And you have to stop and realize that there's a plan. It's not random. And if there's a plan, then that means there's a purpose for you, right? See, that's where it starts to get a little sticky. It's like, oh yeah, I don't know, I can see God moving other people. I can see God moving this organization. I can see God when I step away from things and get a bigger perspective of it all. But when it deals with me, sometimes I think we go, well, you know, I'm not really that gifted. I don't know if there's really a plan for me. I'm just doing my thing. And yet, when you go through Scripture, it is really clear that He has a purpose for each and every one of us. Ephesians talks about that He has prepared you to do good works in advance. Later on in Ephesians, it talks about the body doesn't become mature until each part does its work. And it's talking about each part, not just the leadership. I mean, the reality is, as we go through it, God has this incredible plan. He's got this purpose for each and every one of us. And what's crazy about it is He has this purpose for each and every one of us, but He has this purpose that actually fits us all together. See, we kind of grew up in a society now where we think about ourselves as individuals. And to be honest, that's kind of unique to the timeline of our society. Because if you go back a couple hundred years, basically people thought of themselves as a people group or a tribe or part of a family. But we've gotten to a place where we think of ourselves as individuals. And so sometimes it's hard for us to realize that as individuals, God has created each and every one of us with a certain purpose and a plan. And in the midst of that, He has put it all together in this beautiful package called the church, the body. And He has a plan for this organization that He's put together. As we went through this also, like I say, it talks about the fact that He gifted us. And in gifting us, I love what Peter talks about, that we're supposed to use those gifts in its various forms of grace that's given to each and every one of us. Scripture talks about us doing all things to the glory of God. So you start putting these pieces together. God has formed me. He knows me. He's redeemed me. And in redeeming me, He has empowered me with the Spirit. And He tells me that I am supposed to use these gifts, these abilities, these talents, my background, my experience, this human goulash, if you will, to glorify Him. As Jesus said, to be the salt and the light of the world. That He has a plan, He has a purpose, that it's actually been written out for me, good things for me to do in advance. And that the Scriptures actually talk about, as I do good things, that it brings glory to God. And as we know, the purpose that I am here is to bring glory to God. So if we begin to walk through this journey and begin to realize there's a plan, there's a purpose, and I am gifted, then to be honest, you have to come to this place where you go, that means there is a will. There is a dream. Can I say? That I'm supposed to be about. Often what happens, I believe, as believers, what we get into society and we get into the routine of things where I go and I produce and I make. I go to, you know, some of us may try harder to try to get above that where it's like now I'm my own boss. But the reality is most people work for somebody and we have to just survive society. And we get into this rat race and we just kind of keep doing the same thing over and over and over. And we begin to wonder, what's the purpose? And yet all along, the Scripture keeps pointing back to us, I have created you uniquely, I have put you in the body, and I have given you gifts in order to manifest God's glory and His Spirit. There is purpose for your life. If you are still breathing, God has a plan for you. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. I don't care what your background is, God's got a plan for you. And it's not just to survive this planet. That's not the point. It's not just to take up space and breathe. He's got something for us. And this, to me, is the birthplace, if you will, of dreams. Some of you guys, that might be a little scary. But there is a reality to it when you put all that stuff together. You have to stop and you have to go, okay, God, then what is it? What is my destiny? What is the thing that I'm supposed to be working towards? How's this whole thing supposed to happen? I don't know about you guys, but I want to live a life of significance. Some people are like, ooh, I don't know, you know, just surviving would be good. But the reality is the opposite of living a life of significance is to live a life of insignificance. Now, that's really, you know, complicated, right? Well, maybe for me it's complicated. I went to public school. But that's the reality. Who wants to live insignificantly? Who wants to just have existed? I don't think there's anybody that wants that. But yet sometimes we settle for that. We settle for the surviving routine that we get caught up with and everything else that goes on in our life. It's not until we actually stop and go, okay, God, what is it that you have for me? Why am I here? You have created me in this incredible way and you put me in this body for an incredible purpose. And so what is it? What is the thing that brings significance to others and glory to you? How am I supposed to live these things out? To be able to stop and begin to think about that. Now, when I talk about dreams, it's really important for us to be able to grasp this because I've worked with a lot of young adults, and sometimes when you work with young adults, you go, okay, it's important for you to grasp the dream. Where are you headed in your life? Where are you going? And I sit down with them, and they'll come up with all sorts of crazy things like, oh, okay, I'm going to be a world-class speaker, and I'm going to do da-da-da. That's usually the first thing that comes up. I don't know why it is a world-class speaker, but I think that's just one of those things. And there's these dreams that just pop up out of everywhere. And what I'm talking about now is not the dream of flight of fancy. All right, I'm not talking about the things that are here in that moment of, wow, that would be really cool. I'm talking about something different. I want you to look at Ephesians here. Or I'm sorry, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, starting in verse 4. It says, when you make a vow to God. Now think about this. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to fulfill it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. It is better not to make a vow than to make one and not fulfill it. Do not let your mouth lead you into sin. And do not protest to the temple messenger. My vow was a mistake. Why should God be angry at that, you say, and destroy the work of your hands? Much dreaming and many words are meaningless. Therefore, fear God. These are the dreams of flights of fancy. These are the things that pop into our mind and go, oh, that'd be really cool if we did this. And we talk about it and then, be honest, we don't do anything with it. We look at things and go, oh, that would be awesome. But not really when we actually sit down and count the cost. And it's like, no, not really. Or when we look at it and realize, God hasn't gifted me in that at all. I just think it would be really cool to do. These are dangerous, to be honest. Because what happens is we kind of run our mouth and we say, oh, this would be awesome. And people go, oh, that's really cool. But then you don't do it. And then so everybody goes, oh, well, I guess, you know, dreams don't come together. Or people get behind you and go, oh, that would be awesome. Let's help you do that thing. But then you peter out halfway through it because you haven't counted the cost. And people are burnt and it's like, oh, you know, what's the point? These things are dangerous. That is not the dreaming that I am talking about. What I'm talking about is something totally different. I'm talking about the dreaming like this. The one that starts over here in Psalms, verse 37. Trust the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pastures. Take delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will do this. I'm talking about the dreams that wrestle in your heart and in your soul. I'm talking about the ones that become burdens. The ones that bring energy to you when you think about it. Oh, wouldn't it just be so awesome if only we could stop that and do this thing where people got healed or we were able to step into this place and God got glory with this. And it becomes something that just burns inside of you and you can't shake it. Those dreams come when we follow God and we follow Him closely, when we want to honor Him. Because, to be honest, when we follow our own flesh, when we go, well, this would be really cool over here, we get into things and it may not be God's plan at all. But when we seek first the Lord, when we constantly go before Him and we realize that He is the designer of who we are, I believe that God starts to lay things inside of our hearts. He starts to mold us and use our past for the things He wants to do in the future. He begins to direct us in different ways and put people into our past that speak things into our lives that we begin to wrestle with and go, man, that would just be so awesome if we could accomplish that. We go through an experience and we realize, oh, you know, my mom, she was a single mom, and now I have this burden that I just want to see single moms be able to be helped and valued in life and not have to wrestle with all the stuff that they have to go through. Or, you know, my dad was a dad who struggled with temper, and man, wouldn't it be so awesome if there was something where we could step in and actually speak to men to step up and be men and be able to wrestle with their temper and deal with that and step in and with grace and love and yet be manly in the midst of it all. Those are the types of things that work inside of us, and we begin to realize that they take root and their desires and their dreams that God lays in our hearts because He wants to accomplish something. Those are worth holding on to and not to put aside. I think it's easy to put things aside, but it starts with God. There's a poem, you guys are all familiar with it, but I love it. It's the If poem, right? And I love the If poem. There's a line in the middle of it that says, if you can dream and not make dreams your master. If you can dream and not make dreams your master. The problem sometimes what happens is when God puts these burdens onto our lives, we begin to focus so much on, I've got to accomplish this. We forget that it's actually God who's given us this dream, and God will accomplish it. When we begin to realize that there is a dream that is oriented from God, it changes our perspective because then it is God's problem. It is not my problem. And in a loving, gracious God, what He's done is He's given me an opportunity to be a part of the solution, to be able to work side by side with Him, which makes sense when we realize that it is the manifestation of the Spirit through us, right? Because if that manifestation of the Spirit through us is the reality that when He has gifted me in something, it is to bring Him glory, then the reality is if He's doing something and He's asked me to get involved in it, it only makes sense that it is through Him and His purpose that it is accomplished. The dreams of man come to nothing. The dreams of man elevate individuals, elevate ideas. The dreams of God bring influence, change lives, heal broken hearts, heal the wounded, set free the captives. The dreams of God, the ones He instills in us, are the ones that we're looking for. Look over here at 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. It says, this is Paul speaking to the church. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of His calling and that by His power He may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. We pray this so that the name of the Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and in you, or you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that an awesome prayer? If you ever look through the scriptures and go, man, what is it I'm supposed to be praying for? Adopt this prayer. This is a great prayer. To be able to pray that we would actually realize what it is that God has laid in our lives and what we're supposed to be doing, and those motivations, those things that prompt us in our faith to be able to step out and bring God glory. Those are awesome. The dreams that come from God are motivated by faith. They're motivated by faith. Like that phone is motivated by something. I don't know what, but that's right. I'm terrible that way. Sometimes I squirrel. Oh, happy birthday. That's awesome. Or I'll sing afterwards. But there is this place that we are motivated by the faith that God directs us in when he gives us this dream that becomes something that we begin to wrestle with. And when I talk about faith, this is what I mean. A dream that can be seen and realized and done is more of a simple task. A dream that you look at and go, I have no idea how that's going to happen, is one that takes faith. You think back through the scriptures, you think about any of the heroes of faith, and every one of them, I have this dream that is impossible, this promise from God. And yet they stuck to it and held to it because they knew it was from God and they knew that he would fulfill those promises in them. It'll cost you. Dreams cost. See, when there is a prompting of faith in us to be able to move and do something, the reality is that it takes sacrifice. It'll cost your time, it'll cost your pleasures, it'll cost, you name it. I think that's probably one of the biggest reasons why we don't follow our dreams is because we realize the cost. And we shy away from it. But in shying away from it, we fail, and when we fail in our purpose. As a believer in Christ, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and have walked with Him through your life, and yet you have gotten into a place in your Christian walk where you're sitting there going, I don't get it. What am I supposed to be doing? Then somewhere along the line, you have lost what it means to actually walk in faith. That place of being able to trust God for greater things than what you can experience and see before you. A place of being able to hold on to what it is that God has laid in your life. Some people will actually be offended by it. See, whenever you have a God-sized faith and you go, oh, this is what God put on my heart, this is what I want to do, there are going to be people, and sometimes even that in the church, that are going to go, are you crazy? They're going to be offended by it. They're offended, but because one thing, they realize that it's going to take you faith to do something, and yet that puts them on the spot of checking their own life and wondering whether they can even walk in that. They will be offended by it. But I tell you what, regardless of the cost, regardless of those that are not willing to go on the journey with you, it is worth it. It is absolutely worth it. As you step out in the dreams that God has given you and take those steps of faith and you go, okay, God, this is what you've laid before me, and you're seeking Him in reverence. This is not about me, but it is about you and it is about your glory, and this is what you've called me to. That's what I love in this verse here that we just read in 2 Thessalonians. As we look at this, it's really awesome because right here in verse 11, he says, our God may make you worthy of His calling. Do you guys realize that you are called? Sometimes we talk about a calling in the place of ministry. And I believe there is a calling to ministry. But I also believe that every believer is called. Because every believer is part of the body. Every believer has been given the manifestation of the Spirit. Every believer is supposed to be salt and light. Every believer has a position. And every believer in that position, in that purpose, has a calling. Whenever I work with somebody that wants to get into full-time ministry, the first thing I push them on is, what's your calling? Because I've known a lot of people that want to do it because it's a good job. They quickly find out that it's not. I mean, no offense. But it's not like this great job's like, oh, I could, you know, it's really not. The reason why I push for a calling is this, is because a calling speaks to our heart in a different way. Regardless of the cost, regardless of the pain, regardless of all the stuff I go through, I'm called. I don't have a choice. It's a different mindset. To be able to come back to this place and go, I know it's going to cost. I know this is, but I can't shake this thing. Every day I see something and it triggers that thought, and I've been praying about this, and it's gone by now. And to be honest, there is this dream that God has laid on my heart that I want to see accomplished and done. And if it takes everything, I'm okay with that. And I guarantee there's no better place to be. Because in the midst of that, you find your purpose, you find your this oneness with God. You begin to see fruit. When you step out in faith, what's wild about it is you begin to do things, and God just starts doing all sorts of crazy things in front of you, things that you never thought would happen, organizing things and connections and networks and resources and whatever, and it all comes together. And you look around and going, I could have never done this. And you're right, because it's not about you, it's about God. And if you've fallen in the midst of His will, remember, He's the one that's doing it. And we've just been asked to join Him in this trip. It's worth it. I have a dream. I've had many dreams throughout my life, things that God has laid on my heart where it's like, this is what I need to do, and I've followed it through. And some of them I've failed at. Some of them I've tried to take the glory in. And God has molded me and shaped me. And hopefully I'm a little bit wiser through it all. But right now, at this point in my life, I have this incredible burden. I have this incredible dream. And you guys are a part of it. See, the thing that keeps me going is this dream that God has called me to. And this dream that God has called me to is I so desperately long to see a healthy church where people are victorious in their living, where people are healed, where people are coming to know Him, where they experience His glory, where they are raising up in ministry and what God has called them to do, and that they are bringing other people alongside. A church that has influence and begins to flow through Missoula and change the spiritual climate around us. There are healthy churches around us. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we're the only church. That is not what a healthy church is, that we're the only church. A healthy church is actually one that sees a greater kingdom. One that is not worried about whether somebody goes here or there or they leave this church to go. We're the church, not just the gathering. A healthy church is something totally different. A healthy church is healthy people. Individuals that are finding victory and raising up to what it is that God has called them to. Our families are healed. Our kids raise up and are not ashamed of the gospel, and are situations where they can stand up against the culture around them. Where we're stepping into the lives of other folks that are far from Him and welcome them in. See, for years I've done in all sorts of different ministries and been involved in different things. And now in Missoula, being here now for 17 years, I've seen Missoula have this wave of folks that seem to go from popular church to popular church. And it just kind of happens all over the place. And there's nothing that actually just sticks and cements and is solid and influences everyone in a way of how do we work better together? How do we become stronger and how do we seek the glory of God? See, I dream of a church that would be healthy and it would increase its influence in Missoula. And so for a long time I've been asking myself, what is it that would take a healthy church? So here it is. This is what it is to me. This is my dream. This is Chris's dream. This is Sasha's dream. This is many of our dreams. This is the dream that God has laid on my heart. I want to see a church that's about community. The reason why it's about community is because God, in the Scripture, says He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation is about making friendships. And the Scripture literally says He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. See, we don't experience love until we actually have somebody who loves us. In Corinthians chapter 13, it's all about, it doesn't matter what you do, if it's not surrounded in love, it's worthless. I mean, the reality is we need each other. We live in a society that we think we're all a bunch of individuals and we can do our own things and it's all cool. I love rugged individuality. Don't get me wrong. But I think we can be rugged individuals in society too, in community, to be able to love and help each other. When we're separated, that's when we fall into temptation. When we're separated, that's when we fall into these places of mental anguish where we wrestle with who we are and what we're doing. When we're separated, we don't have anybody to talk to. How do I handle this situation in my family? How do I handle this situation in my job in a way that would honor God? It's not until we're in community and open with each other that we begin to experience that there's other people that give us grace. That there's other people that will lift us up, that want to walk alongside of us. That there's other people that have been there and you're not alone and you're not the only one. Community. Not only community in the church, but community in our community. Until we start reaching out beyond the walls and loving folks around us. I'm big on community because I think that is the essence that is part of the being the family, the body of Christ. Next one of that is, I really think in order to be a healthy church, there has to be the depth of digging into the Word. The Scripture. That's where we get our guidelines from. That's where we get the truth from. That's what Jesus said, the truth will set you free. And we need that. Ephesians talks about until we grow into maturity so that we're no longer tossed back and forth by every wind of teaching and cunning and craftiness of man. Man, as you guys go through the New Testament, especially when you get into, you know, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, it is constantly reminding us there are people that want to step up and preach their own agenda and their own truth, and it has nothing to do with the Scripture. And it throws everybody into chaos and confusion, and it's manipulation. It's the Scripture. Getting back to that is where we get in the presence of God, where we realize who He is, that He is full of love and full of grace, and He is holy. And we should revere Him. And we should love Him. The Word is our cornerstone. In the midst of that, too, the Scripture also tells us we're supposed to be in ministry. In Ephesians, it talks about until every part does its job. The reality is, as we work as a body, as we do these things, this is a place that God has called each and every one of us. And it may not be this huge dream, it may just be being part of a dream. To realize that that's your place of significance, is to make something happen in the midst of that. But when we don't act, when we don't work upon what it is that God has given us and those gifts, to be honest, we miss out. We miss out of having the presence of God in our life, of being able to see those incredible moments where God moves and puts things together. We miss out. And it's not until we start stepping into some of these things and empowering folks. And to be honest, I am really big on, it's not about you have to accomplish my dream. Because I really believe that part of the reason why leadership is here is to be able to empower you to accomplish the dreams that God has put on your guys' hearts and lives. I don't like simple church. Simple church is you come, you do worship, you may do a Bible study if it's good and solid, and that's church. To me, church is so much more than that. It's beautifully complex. There's moving parts everywhere. Because God has created people to do all sorts of different things until we start using and moving in them. The fourth one is kingdom. Kingdom is huge. Because like I say, it's not just about us. It's about what God is doing. This reality that it's scarce and we got to fight for our people and we have to try to bring in our little group because there's only so many marbles to play with. That's just ridiculous. pastor once shared with me, he said, Mark, you realize if we could fill every seat in every church through Missoula, we probably wouldn't even cover 10% of it. You think there's room to be able to expand and help other people expand? You bet there is. There's a lot of work to be done. And God's called us to make a difference. I think He's making an incredible difference. I think that there's big things coming in the midst of all these things. As we start looking at this, me and Chris and Sasha and others, we were sitting down going, how do we make these things part of our life and our reality? And as many of you guys know, we're big on community, doing connect groups and all that bit. But I, in the future, I want a place that is a third place gathering, a place that's in the community, whether it's coffee shops or mall strips or I don't care what it is, someplace where the community is coming in on a daily basis into the church and loves it because of what we provide and what they get out of it. And at the same time, a place where we're digging into the Word, so it's not just Bible study and the third week of going through Explore the Word, but it's individual discipleship, and we're growing the understanding. And in the future, I'd love to be able to see us actually house a Bible class, college-type deal, for lack of better words. But the reality of being able to train and equip folks that really want to dig in and go, no, I really want to get on a deeper level in this. When it comes to ministry, that's mine and Chris's heartbeat. We love to empower people in their dreams. To be able to coach them and help them step up and try those things out. And sometimes it fails and sometimes it works, but you know what? The experience never fails. To be able to see God doing incredible things and come along with folks and say, no, this is awesome. If this is what you're doing, let us help you. Let's put some parameters on it. Let's get some experience in it. Let's get you networked with different people. Man, if God has laid something in your life, we want to see that happen. In the future, I'd love to see part of that center of wherever we're meeting actually be a place that spawns ministries all around the city. One where if somebody comes along and says, man, I would love to start this ministry to whatever it is. We go, let's do that. We'll give you an office space. We'll give you some stuff. We'll give you some helping, and we'll get that thing launched for you. I'd love to see a church that was doing that. Kingdom-wise, we're, as you guys know, we kind of keep putting things out there. Well, we're starting the mission trips. And we're going to start doing some stuff for the pastors and bringing in the pastors and encouraging the pastors on a regular basis to encourage them, start trying to build this community across the board of relationship and friendship where we can actually begin to work on a stronger perspective towards that. And then also to be able to reach out and start doing things like Alaska and other places. We got another one that we're looking at in Ecuador. That's the hope. That's the dream. I want to close with this verse as the worship team comes up here. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, pleasing Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. That is my prayer for you guys. A prayer that you guys would grasp what it is that God has for you, His will, that you would step into it, that you would begin to seek. Maybe part of what I said tonight was one of those things where it's like, I don't know if I've ever had a dream. I don't know if I've ever had a burden. Well, I ask that you would start thinking about that because God does have a purpose for you. Start praying about it. My prayer is that you would grasp that knowledge, that you grasp that understanding, and that you would step forth in faith. Father God, we just come before you right now. Lord, the only reason why we can stand here is because of your Son. We praise you and we thank you, that Father, that you redeemed us because of his death on the cross. He's paid the penalty for my sins. Father, help me to realize the sins of my past, the things that have separated me are now wiped away. That, Father, that I can stand in Your presence boldly and that I can proclaim and ask in Your Son's name. And that, Father, that it is to Your glory that I bear much fruit. Father, we can only approach the throne because of this sacrifice. And so, Father, we praise You for that. And we ask that You would help that sink into our hearts so much that, Lord, we can't help but share it to others. Father God, I know that there are people in this room that are struggling. They're struggling with their attitudes. They're struggling with their marriages. They're struggling with their family situations. They're struggling with being single. They're struggling with the desires of their flesh. Father God, I ask that right now that You would meet them through Your Spirit. You would give them a sense of calm and peace. You would speak to their hearts. That You have something so much more for them. A victorious life. One of joy. One of comfort. One of grace. One of mercy. And Father, in the midst of that, that You would help them to begin to lay those things of the flesh aside. That they would surrender all to You. And Father God, for those that have a dream that have been afraid to step out, encourage them in their faith to take hold of what it is that You've called them to. That You may be glorified. That Your kingdom may come. I pray all this for Your glory. For Your glory. For Your glory. For Your glory alone. We are nothing but redeemed. It is Your power, it is Your will that will be accomplished. For Your glory. For Your glory. For Your glory alone. In Jesus' name.
Hey guys, got a couple announcements for you. There's a bunch of really cool stuff that's coming up. First thing is just listening to Mark's sermon. I was thinking about a couple hours ago, my family pulled out a puzzle and we're putting all the pieces together. And if you've ever done a puzzle before, isn't it a major bummer when you are getting towards the end and you're missing some pieces, right? That like really stinks. So we're kind of like this puzzle, right? We each have a part to play. And when the pieces are missing, it just doesn't, the whole picture doesn't.